الناس والجنة، علي حبه جنة، قسيم النار والجنة، وصي المصطفى حقا، إمام الناس والجنة، علي حبه جنة، قسيم النار والجنة، وصي المصطفى حقا، إمام الناس والجنة.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Wassalatu wassalamu ala sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of prophethood based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. And we are focusing on certain phrases of the first sermon where Imam Ali alayhi salam explains about the situation of the people at the time when the messengers and the prophets came. And he talks about a situation whereby these people, they kind of forget or they interpolate and change that promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has been addressed to them. And that promise, he says, he goes on to say, لَمَّا بَدَّلَ أَكْثَرُ خَلْقِهِ عَهْدَ اللَّهِ إِلَيْهِمْ. That when majority of the people, they start to change that promise of Allah that is there on them. And then this has got results. فَجَهِلُوا حَقَّهُ. So they became ignorant of God's right, number one. Number two, وَاتَّخَذُوا الْأَنْدَادَ مَعَهُ. They started to take opponents for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They started to believe in opponents. That means they believe in other entities that can legislate apart from God. وَاجْتَالَهُمْ عَنِ الشَّيْطَانِ وَاجْتَالَهُمُ الشَّيَاطِينُ عَنْ مَعْرِفَتِهِ. And the third effect was that the devils, they began to block the people from knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we said previously that this means that now the people don't realize their ignorance with regards to the rights of God. This is a very bad situation.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, when we talk about these devils or these Satans that block the path from knowing God, we don't necessarily refer to Iblis, the one who didn't bow down to Adam. No, we don't refer to him necessarily. Yes, he is one of those. But Satan is a vast term in Islamic knowledge. In the Quran, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to refer to Shaytan, okay, of this entity called Satan, he says, Shayateenul Insi wal Jinn. He says, there are human Satans and there are, jinni Satans. Satans that are both of the humankind and the jinn kind. So that means a human can also be a Satan. And other things can also be Satans. So Satan also refers to anything that takes you away from the path. Any force of corruption, any force of misguidance becomes a Satan. So this force, this negative force that can cause misguidance, corruption of the soul, okay, disruption in order, And all of these things, these negative forces that bring negative effects, all of them are referred to as Satan. Now these Satans are also of two kinds in one way. Some are within the human being and some are outside the human being. Those Satans that are within the human being include issues like desires, like self-centeredness, okay, and other things that are within, you know, these desires especially, anger. All of these, that a person follows them and they take him away from his direction, his true aim and goal in life. These are Satans basically. They kind of cause a person to go into the wrong path. So some Satans are within the human existence, some are outside, like the dictatorial rulers, the kings, the misguided priests and scholars. All of these, yeah, or maybe a scenery that attracts a person to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that maybe entices a person towards, let us say, the opposite gender and go towards that direction. All of these are Satans, the different forms of Satans that are, in Islamic terminology, these are called Shaytan.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
Now, when you talk about some of these shaitan especially, they might not be bad or evil intrinsically. So for example, the desires that are within us are not evil intrinsically. They are good. They are there for a purpose, and that is for a person, let's say, to satisfy them in a positive way, through marriage, through, for example, the right things, by eating the right types of foods, let's say, the desire to eat, when you talk about the desire to eat, or the other forms of desires of the lower part of the body. These types of desires are all desires that have a positive dimension to them, but they can be used in the wrong way. But there are certain things that are bad themselves. Of course, there is nothing like complete and absolute evil, but they have intended evil for mankind. Sometimes when we talk about these, we talk about these evil rulers, or we talk about, Shaitan, let's say, or the devil, or that Iblis himself. You see, when you talk about Iblis, and we talk about these types of entities, they've actually geared themselves to misguide mankind completely. But other things are not geared for misguidance, but they are geared for another purpose. These are people who have geared themselves for misguidance, and of course they are tests which people need to overcome. As I said, there is no absolute evil, and therefore all of them can be taken as tests, and they can be converted into opportunities to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But now, as I said, there are these internal devils and there are those external devils. Now, when a person follows his desires and doesn't have a bridle over, those internal, excitements and those internal feelings and those internal outstretches that maybe force a person towards committing a certain thing, then a person becomes gullible towards the influence of these external shaitans. And therefore, a person needs to be careful so that he doesn't fall into the trap of these kinds of entities. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Rome, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي ربا.
A diverse range of programs. Spirituality. Youth. Eastern Tales. Roundtable Discussions. Culture. Politics. All produced by IRIB English Radio.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim, Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم, dear listeners. Welcome to the only station. Youth Station.
Yeah, wa alaikum assalam, brother.
Assalamu alaikum, sister Asma. How are you?
Thank you.
I didn't notice you over there.
Thank you.
So quiet. Yeah. How are you?
I'm just pretending to be quiet.
Oh, okay. So, you're talking a lot within yourself, but let it out. Come on. Think
of
loud,
course,
you know?
Yes.
You know,
let time go and then we'll see.
Okay, slow and steady.
Yes.
Why are you pretending?
To be calm?
To be calm.
Right now I have to.
Oh, well, because I'm around, you understand?
Yeah.
There's no choice but to pretend.
Yes. Thank you for being so modest.
You know, I encourage people to carry on whatever they're doing.
Good, very good. Yeah, thank you. Keep it up.
Yeah, I don't want to bother people.
Yeah.
Right, so speaking of you pretending to be... What?
Calm.
Yeah. Not calm.
Silent. Yes.
Yeah. Right. What else have you ever pretended to be doing or feeling?
Well, if I say no, then I would be a big liar.
What?
Yeah. If I say no, I would be a big liar. Sometimes you have to pretend in some special occasions. Like, for example, I enter a new community, and then in there, I might not like anyone, but I have to pretend like still I'm good with them.
Why would you not like people? Why?
Oh, well, that's a different story.
That's a bad, bad story.
Yes.
Let's not even get into it, not liking people.
Well, you know, it has got a lot of reasons. Sometimes you just don't have the same... set of the same thinking. Sometimes you don't.
Yeah,
look
your
alike.
Chemistries don't match, but that doesn't mean that you don't like them. You know,
it doesn't have any problem not to like people. See, as long as you do not hate them, and as long as you do not start
you don't
a
feel,
war.
Yeah, you don't feel. Well, you feel out of place, first off, right? You don't feel that you belong there, and you have to tolerate.
But I have to keep face.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you have to tolerate that, and you have to pretend that you're not bothered.
Exactly.
Or annoyed by whatever they're talking about. Yeah.
All right, yeah,
fair
that's
enough.
Very true. So I guess this
Survival
occasion happens
fittest.
To many people.
Certainly. And if you are an office worker or you've got a regular job, well, you need to pretend a lot, because it's all about have to
and
exactly.
must.
Yeah. Especially if you're not the boss and you can't just fire anyone you want.
Yeah.
And you have to be there, then yeah, you have to pretend
exactly.
to be...
Yeah.
All right with everything that's going
on.
So
has it happened to you?
Certainly. Certainly it has. After I had a kid, a lot of times. You know what I mean?
In what way?
Wow, yeah. You know, in a lot of ways, because I do at times lose it, you know, like the grip on you being, like, pretending to be all right with it. But yeah, you have to pretend to be all right, because children do a lot of things blow your mind, first off. Right, it could be like either way.
This
either
happens way. When my niece come to my home.
Yeah, okay.
The same story goes, so I understand
that. Yeah, exactly, you know. Like, they might, you know, like slap you. Now she's 3 years old, my daughter. And she's trying to be friendly and stuff, and she'd pull your hair, or like she'd slap you. And, not intentionally, even by mistake, you're a human being. Like, you've got this rage within you, but you can't like, show
you
that.
You have to control it,
You understand? Yeah, either that. Or, for example, they do something that you did not expect from them, like, in a positive manner, you understand? They say something smart, they do something clever, and you don't want to ruin the moment, and you're not like, oh, wow. You have to pretend to be calm and do something regular.
I guess that happens a lot in families.
Yeah.
Even when you're living with your parents, and then, I don't know, the guests come to your home, and you're not in the mood of...
Oh, those moments. Oh, my God.
Yes.
I know.
And then you're not in the mood of being the host, but you have to.
You understand? Yeah. So that pretending is, I guess, one of the ways of... survival, literally.
If you want to survive
in the world.
The best way to put it, survival.
Yeah, survival, that's where you need one of those things. All right, let's head for a break, and then I'll bring in something that came to my mind, a hadith, all right? Let's go and come back shortly.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back. Cut to the chase. This is the point. As I was saying, look, there's a hadith by Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, "Man iftaqara faqar." Right, so pretending is not always good. It says, whoever pretends to be poor...
Yeah, really would turn into a poor person.
Yeah. Right, so that's going to happen to you. If you're, like, showing around that, oh, I've got nothing, I've got this, all these financial problems that you are showing people, like, deceiving people, if you keep on doing that, that's going to happen to you.
And by the way, why they would do that? Why, if I have money, why should I pretend like I'm poor?
Well, I do have a friend who was telling me a story. He's like, they have this community, they're all businessmen, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, in our community, when one of the businessmen... people know that he had a business loss, right, in his deal, right? When he has a loss and he's indebted and he's got a heavy debt and everything. So when that person visits other people from that community who are businessmen, as he is that person who's been struck by a calamity, you know, financial calamity, he enters their house, they start talking about their financial problems. They're like, oh, man, I've got no money. Da, da, da,
yes.
Da. Why? Why? Because they're not ready to help that guy.
Yeah.
You know, so they're like putting their safety out there.
Yeah.
You're like, I'm going to start talking about my problems so that he doesn't bring up a loan that he wants to borrow, you know, something like that.
That's a bad reason.
I know.
So bad.
I know. So, one of the reasons might be that I'm not, you know,
vouching for it.
But, people might pretend to be poor because of that.
In order not to offer any help to others.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Which is, like, evil.
Exactly.
That's evil.
You know.
That's beastish. People might mention it or like label it as clever or...
This is the sad part. Why do you call this clever?
Exactly.
This is not being clever.
Exactly. See why Imam Ali alayhi salam says that... Well, it's something along the lines where he says cunningness is being labeled in this world as being clever. Right, shrewd is clever. However, it is not the case. Being shrewd is completely different to being clever.
Exactly.
Al-mu'minu kayyiz, he's a believer, is clever. That doesn't mean he plays these evil games.
Yeah.
You understand? He's clever doesn't mean that, you know, being smart, clever is different to being evil, plain evil, right?
Yes, very true. Yeah, right. We cannot label it that way because in a way, maybe if I have the capacity to help other people, maybe I could solve their problem so I don't have to just pretend like I'm poor while I'm not.
And that also like stems out from not having enough faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you think that if I help him, my finances are going to go down. Well, no, that's not the case.
See, I would put it this way. Being pretentious is sometimes a good thing and sometimes a bad thing. Good parts are very clear because sometimes in order not to hurt other people, you have to pretend.
Or like Imam Ali says that if you are not patient, right, like you don't have that perseverance or patience in face of calamity, pretend to be patient.
Yeah.
Right? So that's gonna bring that patience in your soul,
it's very logical, you know. When you try to pretend for so long, then that becomes your manner.
Yeah, fake
your lifestyle.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's very difficult to recognize it, you know. Sometimes I'm pretending to be who I am not, but I don't try to believe it.
You're right, actually. There are people who live in that bubble world.
Yeah.
Like, they have pretended to be something or someone for so long that now they've actually started believing that, which is bringing them down from their actual potential.
Now we're talking for too long and we're pretending like we have too much of time, but we aren't.
Really? Yeah. Are we out of time?
So we have to go for a short break and then we'll be coming for the ending part.
Guys, we're going to break. We are going on a break because I said so.
Yeah, thank you.
Welcome back to this show because I said so.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, we are back because you are saying so.
Yeah, okay. Right.
So we're talking about pretending.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. We talked about the bad parts and we talked about the good parts as well. Mm-hmm. But as in a whole, as in general, if we want to talk about it, I guess it is one of the good abilities of human beings.
Yeah.
As long as it is not called like the shrewdness that, hypocrisy.
Yeah,
that's
very
true, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. If you, I don't know, do animals do that other than animals? Do they
I guess they would do. Yeah, they do.
Oh, they do. I saw a video of a cat, right? And it's going after a mouse and the mouse slips from his hand and the cat pretends to die.
Yeah.
Animals do that too. So it's pretty much.
Yeah, they exist even among the animals.
Yeah, yeah.
Survival. Yeah. Well, there's this question, you know, there was this thing that I once used to think about it a lot. But what if there was no pretending in this world? Even the good parts.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Would it be more beautiful or more ugly?
Well, that depends on the people themselves, right? What kind of...
Being realistic, I would say it is going to be good.
I do not know. I don't know if I can agree with that or disagree with
that. If all the people were realistic and they understood the reality, then they would have loved other people to be real with them.
Yeah, but like, still, there has to be a way to say what you feel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if everyone was blunt, right, absolutely blunt... Even if I know that everyone is blunt and there is no filter in this world, right?
Yeah.
I still do have feelings, right?
Oh, so the problem is with feeling.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I could hurt someone really bad, if I'm, like, absolutely blatantly throwing truth out there, you understand?
Yeah, that's true.
So I have to somehow mellow it down. I have to, form my phrases in a manner that doesn't hurt the person, right? So even if... As I'm doing that, there is...
I understand what you're saying,
but still,
I would say, I would love people to be real. Because you know what? There was once this coach that said, tell me that you don't love me, but then don't lie to me that you love me.
Yeah, right. That's true. But like, even for example, let me give you an example. You see someone, right? And it's a horrible, horrible example, but I have to give it because, you know,
in order for anyone to understand,
my point across, is you see someone and that guy or that woman has not been given what society would say beauty, right? And what society would say ugliness. And you go up to them, you're like, bro, I have never seen someone as hideous as you, right? That might be true.
Yeah.
But, like, that person just got devastated.
Yes.
You know, right?
It would kill her, of
course.
That
would, you know? Like, that was... Right, so... You don't say that.
Yeah.
You know, even if that comes to your mind, if like, everything that comes to your mind and you don't pretend like you didn't see that, is all right. I'm not going to pretend that I did not see that. That you're telling me that we're out of time.
Yeah.
But you know, like, you have to pretend often.
It's just
to,
wrap it up, you know?
Yeah, wrap it up. So
yeah.
What I'm saying is we have no choice but to pretend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to pretend, but
you
sometimes it's better to be real. Be who you are.
Yeah. That doesn't even collide with each other. You can be who you are without being pretentious.
Yeah. Be a caring person who is himself or herself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, then, because I'll say so, we'll head for the end. And until next time, farewell from me and Sister Asma. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
In spite of the current emergency situation in quake-stricken Syria and a very dire need to lift the Western sanctions, it is unlikely that the West will change its crippling anti-Syria policies to allow Syrians to merely survive. The economic stranglehold and selective approach to aid Syria will lead to more death and displacement. In this regard, we have taken a look at world media websites for further details. Stay tuned for the second part, please. According to Press TV, Ghofran, a 26-year-old medical student from Syria's port city of Latakia, hasn't slept or eaten since the catastrophic earthquake that jolted vast swathes of the country, leaving a trail of death and destruction. While Ghofran was lucky to survive, her best friend tragically breathed her life under the rubble of the building in which they lived. Speaking exclusively to the Press TV website over the phone, she recounted the horror of the apocalyptic day when all hell broke loose. People are traumatized and U.S. sanctions only make things worse, Ghofran said, adding that people are watching their loved ones die due to lack of aid and equipment. Tens of thousands of people are presently putting up in makeshift shelters while many are still trapped under the rubble of buildings as the death toll continues to mount. In Syria, most of the casualties have been in northwest of the country, in the cities of Aleppo, Hama, Latakia, and Tartus, according to the state news agency Sana. The massive earthquake, with its epicenter in neighboring Turkey, struck in the wee hours and was followed by a series of high-intensity aftershocks. What has compounded misery of people amid the humanitarian crisis are crippling U.S. sanctions, impeding and obstructing the flow of aid to the earthquake-hit Arab country. Syrian Foreign Minister Faisal Miqdad, in his remarks recently, said U.S. sanctions have aggravated the situation in the country, preventing the delivery of aid. Ghofran acknowledged that the situation was unbearable, with natural disaster and draconian sanctions making their life miserable. There was no equipment, no vehicle, almost nothing to help rescue my friend and others stuck under the piles of debris, she told the Press TV website, adding, the USA is killing my people, the Syrian people. When will the world understand that they need to do something about this? Until when do we have to live under sanctions and suffer? Ofran said it was really tough to recall everything that happened that day. I heard my friend, she was calling out for help from under the rubble, but I was unable to do anything. I started lifting some rocks with my bare hands and calling for help at the same time. I was having a nervous breakdown, she recounted. My friend died, with me standing right above her, helplessly. If we had what it took to bring her out, she could have survived. Ofran told Press TV website that she and her friends remain in shock as they know more of their friends and relatives are still trapped and battling for their lives. The medical student and her friends have been trying to help in some medical centers, also donating blood or doing anything they can to save as many lives as they can. Sarah, a Syrian journalist, speaking to Press TV website from one of the shelter zones in Latakia, where people affected by the quake are staying. She said she had not witnessed such a devastating natural disaster during her 11 years of activism. She added, it has added more devastation to the already devastated country, describing the present situation as catastrophic. She said people are in trauma, the aid is too little to cover their needs, and the situation is really painful. The children break my heart. You can see trauma in their eyes. The journalist said local paramedics and firefighters are trying to help, but the scale and magnitude of the catastrophe is massive and requires more rescuers, especially in cold weather. Thank God I was not affected by the earthquake myself, but I saw it with my own eyes, she remarked. I have to tell you, it is deadly cold here, and I cannot imagine how will people survive under the rubble with no food or water for days. People in Syria cutting across social and economic lines have been directly or indirectly affected by the earthquake, the worst in several decades. Millions of people have not only been inflicted by the earthquake, but are also going through enormous pain to see their loved ones under rubble, while they stand helpless and the world watches in silence. Syrian actor Mine Abdul-Haq told the Press TV website. He said the Syrian people are aware of what is happening and they realize that the United States is not only indifferent to their plight, but is also weaponizing the natural disaster against them.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, ways of strengthening taqwa. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about the ways of strengthening taqwa in the Islamic lifestyle. One of the ways of strengthening the taqwa is to worship God. And we know that in the Quran, there are many verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, for example, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyam, for example. And at the end, it is la'allakum tattaqoon. We need to perform the fasting, we need to observe fasting so that we get to the taqwa. In the other verses, Allah has said, Ya ayyuhan nas, O the mankind, u'budu rabbakum. You need to worship your Lord so that you get the taqwa. So basically, this worshiping, either it's in the form of worshiping the daily prayers, in the form of believing that the creator of the mankind, the universe, is one, if it is in the form of, for example, fasting in the month of Ramadan, which is a kind of worshiping, for example, if it is in the form of giving charity or alms, which is zakat, performing the hajj, maybe we are struggling with the nafs, which is jihad bin nafs, or doing a jihad, which is struggling in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any kind of prayer that we are performing, any kind of rituals, Islamic rituals that we are doing, and above all, the intention is qurbatan ilallah. We do this in order to get the nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qurbatan means nearness. Ilallah, towards Allah. So if we are doing this in order to gain the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then obviously it will be written as the worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the end, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَأَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Maybe you all reach to the level of taqwa. Maybe you all become God very. Maybe you all are God very. Therefore, in order to have this taqwa, we need to pay attention towards the worshipping of God. Welcome back. You're listening to A2Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of ways of strengthening taqwa through worshipping God in the Islamic lifestyle. Now, we said that in the verses of the Quran, it is clear that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to worship Him, and so that we can get the taqwa. On the other hand, what does this worshipping mean? Because, you know, when we read the Quran, when we read the Islamic text, it is said, يُصَبِّحُ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. For example, whatever is in the earth, in the heavens or the earth, they all are manifesting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They all are doing tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what does it mean basically? And when it is said too that we need to worship God, what does this worshipping mean? Because when I go out in the morning, I go for my own work. I'm working at a place. For example, I'm struggling in order to earn something, or maybe I am a builder, building house or anything, an architect, for example. I am a manager at a place. I am a sale associate at a place. So we are doing different works, like doctors or nurses, they're working in the medical field. The engineers are working in their own field. And those who are related to the universities, they're working in the educational field. So what does it mean? Like when we say we need to worship, and then in the Surah Al-Hamd, we say, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ, only you we worship. The idea is basically that if we do all of that, if we do our own things, even eating, drinking, talking to my family members, playing a game, for example, watching something on the TV with my family, spending some time. If all of that, if I perform it for the sake of nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if I do this in line with the teachings, and I'm not performing any haram, and I'm observing the halal means, and through halal means I'm doing all this, all of this will be written as worshipping God, because Allah has said, avoid the haram and you need to strive for the halal. Therefore, anything that I've performed, if it is in accordance to the Islamic teachings, it will be written as worshipping God, inshallah. Thanks for listening. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
IRIB English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to IRIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, IRIB English Radio. Leaders meeting with entrepreneurs and manufacturers. On Monday, 30th of January 2023, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with hundreds of top business people, manufacturers, employers and industrialists at the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya in Tehran. At the beginning of this meeting, top businessmen, manufacturers, knowledge-based entrepreneurs and industrialists presented a report about their activities, their successes, achievements, concerns and worries, making suggestions on how to improve business conditions and the economy, and removing obstacles in the way of business and manufacturing. In this program, we discuss the leader's speech and points of view expressed at this meeting. Please stay with us. On Monday, 30th of January 2023, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, had a meeting with hundreds of top business people, manufacturers, employers, industrialists, and knowledge-based entrepreneurs. After hearing the comments and suggestions made by top businessmen and industrialists, Ayatollah Khamenei thanked and welcomed the audience, saying, "I found your comments and suggestions very interesting and have benefited from your presentation and comments. Clearly, your spirits are very good, you have high hopes, and your endeavors benefit this country. Of course, this does not surprise me. We have highly skilled and talented young people, researchers, business people, entrepreneurs, and industrialists. It is clear to me that there is huge talent in this country. In addition, we are an exceptional nation in terms of God-given natural resources, and we have a geostrategic country exceptionally well-placed geographically, and we have excellent human resources as well." The leader poignantly added, "What I see in my mind, in my mental vision about the future of this country and the future of this nation, and about the advances that we have been making in science and technology, is a lot more than what is conventionally expressed or assumed. It is truly a lot more." The leader emphasized that relatively good progress has been made in manufacturing, knowledge-based production, job creation, and high-tech industry, stressing that economic growth and manufacturing growth has been significant. Turning to official statistics, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "In the first half of the current Iranian year, we have had some improvements in economic indicators. These indicators were compared to the first half of last year. They show some growth and movement. The increase or growth in non-oil gross domestic product or GDP, growth in the added value of industry and mining sector, especially in the production of large workshops, we had a respectable growth of 6.6%. We also had growth of fixed capital formation and the like. All these point to economic progress." The leader emphasized that the country needs rapid economic growth in order to combat poverty and to raise the living standards of ordinary people. Turning to setbacks and relative standstill in economic activities in the 2010s decade, the leader said, "There are various reasons for this." He added, "Not all of this can be attributed to weak management. No, some of it was related to external factors and some of it related to internal factors. The sanctions had an impact. The reduction in oil prices for a time had certainly an effect. And the fact that the country was focused on the nuclear issue and the economy was dependent on that also had an impact. As a result, we're currently behind, and there are many negative indicators showing this. The leader pointedly added, "Compensating for these setbacks for falling behind is obviously not an easy task. It requires sustained medium-term economic growth, if not long-term growth. Certainly, we need 7, 8, or 10 years of sustained economic growth to recover." This is why in the 7th development plan, we have set our main priority in the program to be economic advancement along with justice. The issue of justice is also very important. That is, if we move forward without justice, it is like we have made no progress at all. Progress must be accompanied by justice. Of course, there are certain procedures that must be followed, but it is not something that is impossible or problematic. There are ways to achieve this. In further comments, the leader said, "We have set a target economic growth rate of 8% in the policies of the 7th Development Plan. If we can truly achieve an average growth rate of 8% during the 5-year period of the plan, I think we will have done very well. We need this economic growth. But why? There are basically 4 reasons why we must achieve economic growth. The first reason is that people in the country obviously have problems with the cost of living and the well-being of families. This cannot be overcome in the absence of economic growth. If we want to eliminate poverty, economic growth is needed. This is the government's responsibility. This is the responsibility of capable people, those who have intellectual, financial, or managerial capabilities. Everyone has a responsibility in getting this done. And this is the first reason. The second reason is that Iran's ranking or status must be raised in regional and world economy. Doing this largely depends on the state of the economy. When a country's currency becomes weakened and its economy slumps, its credibility in today's world drops. To protect the country's position and ranking in the world economy, we need economic growth. And this is the second reason. The third reason is that we have many professionals among our human resources. Fortunately, one of the things we take pride in and one of the advantages we have is that we have a large professional, well-trained, highly skilled workforce in the country. Well, we had, for example, about 150,000 university students in the beginning of the Islamic Revolution. Now we have millions of university students and millions of university graduates in an array of scientific disciplines. These people need jobs and employment. We must provide them with employment and careers, and this is the third reason. The fourth reason is that we have a large number of young people in our country today. But will we have the same number of young people tomorrow? It is hard to say. With the situation I'm seeing today, despite all the emphasis that I have made on this point, the results are not very promising. We may not have huge numbers of young people tomorrow. We must make the country wealthy for that day. If the country is not wealthy when the number of young people starts to drop off, it would be hard to manage the economy. And this is the fourth reason why we should focus on bringing about economic growth today. The country needs to become wealthy so that it can manage itself in the future. In further remarks, the leader asked, "So how should we achieve this economic growth? There are 2 main pillars here. The first one is increasing funding for production and manufacturing. This investment in production and manufacturing is very important. The second issue is improving productivity. Our situation is not good in terms of productivity, especially in some areas. Productivity is very low. Work is done, resources are used, but productivity is poor. There are also other requirements. I have written down a few of them, which I will mention very briefly. First of all, the executive bodies of the government that are responsible for economic issues, both the country's general economy and various economic sectors, must have a strategic outlook. They need to have a long-term plan. Of course, I usually ask the government officials about this, and they state that they do have a long-term plan. Well, if a long-term plan, a vision, and a strategic plan exists, we will not suffer from routineness. This routineness causes harm everywhere. We state something one day, and the next day we violate it or change it in some other way. This is exactly what these gentlemen are complaining about. Many of these gentlemen who are active in business and industry are critical of this. Secondly, executive bodies of the government must support the development of private enterprises, the private sector. The country cannot manage without the activities of the private sector. An important mistake that took place in the first years of the revolution, and the effects of it still remain to a large extent, was that they pushed the private sector aside and entrusted everything, even the sale of retail goods, for example, to officials, the government and government organizations. But this was a big mistake. Private enterprises, which is where the presence, ability, initiative and money of the people are, must be supported. They need to be in the middle of the field. They're the ones who should manage the economy. I have repeatedly used the following example. There are two ways you can work. You can put a load in a pickup truck, sit behind the wheel of the pickup truck and easily transfer this load from one place to another. Or you can abandon the pickup truck, carry the load on your shoulders, get tired and not reach your destination. The private sector cannot enter the field if it has no support from the government, and if it does not enter the field in this way, it will not succeed. The third thing that is needed is that our knowledge and technology must improve. The amount of success we have experienced today is due to the country's scientific progress, which, thank God, began 15 or 16 years ago. There has been good progress and improvements have been made. The next point relates to small and medium-sized enterprises, which I emphasized a few years ago. In my New Year's speech, these small and medium-sized companies have a great role in creating jobs and added value for goods, and they can be of help to the economy. We must definitely not ignore them. Both government organizations should pay attention to them, and large companies should cooperate with them in their chain of production. They should develop them and help them to thrive. The last issue is the issue of cooperatives. Cooperatives for production can be one of the best ways for creating jobs, especially for creating economic justice in the country. We hope, God willing, the Almighty God will grant success to all of you and to government officials. I witness and testify that the honourable government officials are working with all their strength. I mean, the effort being made is truly very good. However, we should be careful about the direction that they are taking. And, God willing, we should get favourable results.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints
همه با وجود
قده سرطانی اسرائیل مخالفیم.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
وجه مشترک همه وحدت امت اسلامی.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
The second phase of the revolution statement addressed to the Iranian nation on the occasion of the anniversary of the victory of the Islamic Revolution of Iran by Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. In its first step, the revolution turned the disgraceful regime and the tyrannical monarchy into a popular and democratic state, and employed the element of national determination, which is the essence of comprehensive and genuine progress, to the heart of the country's governance. Then it turned the youth into the main forerunners of the developments and the key players in the management of the country. It conveyed the message of "we can do it" spirit and belief to everyone. Thanks to the enemy's sanctions, it taught everyone to rely on domestic capacities, and this unfolded a source of great blessings.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
Firstly, it guaranteed the stability and security of the country, the territorial integrity, and the protection of the borders which were targeted by the enemy's Syria threats, and gave rise to the miracle of the victory in the 8-year war, leading to the defeat of the Ba'athist regime and its American, European, and Eastern supporters. Secondly, it acted as the country's regime in developing the field of science and technology, and in creating the vital economic and constructional infrastructures which continue to grow more prevalent day by day. Several thousands of knowledge enterprises, several thousands of infrastructure and necessary projects for the country in the areas of civil engineering and transportation, industry, power, mining, healthcare, agriculture and water, millions of universities, graduates or students, thousands of colleges and universities throughout the country, dozens of big projects such as the nuclear fuel cycle, stem cells, nanotechnology, biotechnology, etc., all ranking among the top of the world, developing 60 times more non-oil exports and nearly 10 times more industrial units. The quality of the industrial sector advanced tens of times more than before. The industry that only relied on assembling and montage was transformed into domestic technology.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all.
Of Jalali Tehran.